exciting to be with the chevra, and exciting to prepare together. There's a line that resonates with me a lot. Maybe it'll mean something to you also. It has to do with how you go into a yom tov, how you come out of a yom tov. The line is attributed to the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, mid to late 20th century. It's in Yiddish. I'll translate, but it's not the same. He said that at the end of a yom tov, a Jew's attitude has to be nisht nachayom tov avek, nor nachayom tov aron. It can't be that when yom tov is, when post yom tov, it can't be another yom tov gone by. It has to be another yom tov gone in. We have Pesach is coming up. In a month and a half from now, we'll just be, okay, Pesach was, it was nice, and now it's gone. And now it's just in the rearview mirror. Or it went not just over my shoulder, it went through me. Obviously, you keep moving forward on the calendar. You're not going to stay in the month of Nisan forever. But I'm going to be a more elevated person. I'm going to be a different person. I will have grown from the Yom Tov. The goal of the Yom Tovim, one of the major goals of each of the Yom Tovim, is to build us in particular ways. Each Yom Tov is dedicated to different aspects of Emunah, to different aspects of Midos, to different ways in which we build ourselves. But how does that happen? Pesach was very busy. And you could just sort of go through Pesach and do all the things and make all the preparations and do all the mitzvahs. But how do you grow from it? How do you make sure the Yom Tov goes through you and not just goes by you? A lot of it has to do with the preparation in advance. Like most things in life, if you want things to work well, you prepare in advance. You just show up to the game. You show up to the court, you didn't practice. I mean, you may get some time in the wood. You're not going to accomplish very much. There's a lot more time spent practicing than actually game time. But obviously, you might practice for 30 hours for 30 minutes of game time, but that's going to dramatically transform your time in the wood. Anything you want to do well in life, preparation matters. Rav Kook is supposed to have said, "Ein kedusha b'li hachana." You're not going to accomplish kedusha without preparing. The preparation for Pesach is a lot of physical preparation for Pesach, and if there's a parent or two at home that could use your help, so that's a fantastic double mitzvah, preparing for Yom Tov and Kibud Av V'Em, one or the other or both. But in addition to all the practical physical preparation, the shopping and the cleaning, the setting the table and whatever else has to happen, the mental preparation, the emotional preparation, the spiritual preparation of learning and thinking about the Yom Tov in advance, you're going to show up on the wood. You're going to show up to Leil HaSeder. It's totally different if you've prepared for Matzah, if you've prepared for Mar, if you've spent time thinking and exploring, what does this mean? If you've opened the Haggadah, if the first time you open the Haggadah is at the Seder, that's like the first time you take a shot that season is at the game, as opposed to practicing. I don't mean you have to have a dress rehearsal of the Seder, but I do mean that the Haggadah is also a Sefer, and you can learn it, and you can explore it, and you can come to the Seder, not just with, I have my 10 Divrei Torah I want to say, we'll discuss ideas, but more than that, maturely, to come to the Seder with an appreciation of the richness of what's going on. An appreciation, you're at a point where your minds are maturing in ways that you can begin to understand concepts and ideas that even just a couple of years ago you weren't yet masugel to get. But now you're at the cusp. Now you're at the cusp where we can actually make things happen. So here's what I want to do in the time that we have. How much time do we have?
You have 17 minutes.
17 minutes, fantastic. What I'd love to do is the following. We're going to do things a little backwards. We're going to, instead of starting with a big structure, I'd love to instead front load things with a couple of quick ideas. Now we have them biyad. And then, towards the end, we're going to sort of circle around after going through a couple of quick hits in different parts of the Maggid. We'll circle around and sort of zoom out for a bigger picture and begin to appreciate the richness of the Seder as a whole. Let's start with a couple of quick things. A story. Maisa, the Maisa, the beginning of Maggid after the initial questions, the Manistana, and the very beginning of an answer, Avad Mayinu, you have a couple of paragraphs. I'm going to borrow this for just a second just to get a page number here.
page 11 and 12?
Page 11 and 12, he says. Yes, you got it. Pages 11 and 12. As after the Manishkana and the initial answer, we have a couple of paragraphs of instructions. The Seder builds into itself instructions on how to do it. Who does it? How you do it? They said, Afilu Kulanu Chachamim, Kulanu Nuvonim, even Big Tamei Chachamim have to be involved in CPTS Mitzrayim. That's the question of who, and the question of how, or how much, how long does this have to take? Kalamar Bereze Meshubach. They say Kriya Shema, there are 200 some odd words of Kriya Shema, and that's Kriya Shema. But in CPTS Mitzrayim, you can expand. This Haggadah is it's a floor. It's not a ceiling. You're at least going to say the words of the Haggadah, but you want to expand and explore and talk about it more, called Marbarez and Meshubach. And then we have a story. Presumably the role of the story is to, like a proof text, let me show you. Indeed, I'll prove to you, a raya, that who even Chacham Nevonim, how much called Marbarez and Meshubach, I'll prove it to you. Look at the story of these five Zekanim. Vesumim Bivnei Brak, great time, some of the greatest time of Jewish history. Some of our greatest heroes. They knew this backwards and forwards. Literally, they wrote the book. They wrote Maseches Tochen. Tanan. They knew this well. And yet, they were going all night long, Mamish, until Achebo, Talmidei, Vamur Lehem, Higiyaz Man, Kriyash Mashal Shabbos. They were so involved in the Seder, they didn't even realize it was already morning. Tanim said, you know, it's morning. It's no longer the time of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. It's a nighttime. Now it's time for Kriyash. That's certainly true. We certainly are quoting that story to prove Maisa Rav. You see these Tamei Chachamim assume these dinim, Afilu Kalan Chachamim, Kamar Ezeh Meshubach, and there's more. And the way I think the Aruch HaShulchan and others get into what else is the deeper layer of the story is a simple question. Where does this happen? Where does the Seder happen?
Bnei Brak.
Fantastic. Who is the rabbi of Bnei Brak? Gemara Sanhedrin has a list of which Tana was a rabbi in which town. Rabbi Akiva was the rabbi of Bnei Brak. So that means they all came to Rabbi Akiva. So not only, you know, tongue-in-cheek, how could be so many rabbis got away from their shul for Pesach, but the serious question is many of them were rabbeim of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva's Rebbeim. They came to the Talmud for Seder. Shouldn't it be the opposite? Shouldn't the Talmud go to the Rebbe for Seder? Why are they all going to Rabbi Akiva? It's a little detail, but with some perspective, with some background information, all of a sudden, what's going on here? So there are those who suggest the following. Our Chashulcha makes the suggestion, the Rav suggested this, Salvation suggests this, in a very beautiful drasha, about Lag BaOmer, that he was their Talmud, but he was also their Rebbe. How was he their Rebbe? So in a couple of weeks from now, Erev Pesach, Tainus Bechoros, so the minhag has been for the last couple of centuries probably, that instead of Bechorim actually fasting, we make siyumim. And specifically, one of the most common siyumim is Amaseches Makos. So you might think it's because Makos is relatively small, but I would suggest only half jokingly that Kol Yisrael has developed a minhag that we chazer the last Agadot and Makos in Erev Pesach. What's the last Agadot and Makos? Everyone says it's a Siyum. Also the Rabbi Akiva and the other Tanam, very similar list of Tanam. What are they doing? Who remembers? Right? They're walking by Har Habayis after the Churban. They see not only is there no Beis HaMikdash, it's totally rubble, and they even see animals. Foxes prowling, animal foxes, not a holy Jew. Foxes, shualim, prowling in the Makom Kodesh HaKadosh, where the Kohen Gadol, Be'emo Be'ira, will walk in once a year on Yom Kippur. Now, animals just roaming around. And they're crying, except for Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is sitting there smiling. He's smiling. What's wrong with you? He says, well, why are you crying? Why are we crying? I mean, look, it was Churban. He says, exactly. And that's why I am smiling. Why? He says, because that's a pasuk. We have our pasuk in the Tanakh that describes, Navi says there will come a time when the Shualim will walk around on the Makam Mikdash. And it says, I knew that would be true, it says in Tanakh. But now that I actually see it with my own eyes, it makes it easier for me to now imagine more vividly imagine what it will look like when the happy Nevuos will come true as well. Wow. That's extraordinary optimism. You know where else is extraordinary optimism? A Gemara in Yevamos. From Makkos to Yevamos. Famous Gemara in Yevamos. Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva has the largest yeshiva in Jewish history. 24,000 Talmidim. 24,000 Talmidim. And they all died. Perhaps they were Hezderniks in the army of Bar Kokhba. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. It ultimately turned out to be incorrect, as Rambam points out. Rabbi Akiva thought, this is Rabbi Kokhba revolt almost 70 years after the Churban Bayit Sheni. Rabbi Akiva thought, this is Mashiach. So his Talmidim obviously signed up to be Mashiach's army. And then there was, as we know both from internal and external sources, they were pretty successful for a couple of years, remarkably successful, and finally the Roman army brought in multiple legions and with incredible bloodshed, totally crushed the Bar Kokhba revolt. Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim are gone, 24,000 Talmidim, gone. His candidate for Mashiach, gone. Rabbi Akiva's an old man. No one would have faulted him for retiring. He did it all. He was Chozer B'Tshuva, he became a Talmid Chacham, he became one of the greatest in Mechama of Jewish history, he built the largest yeshiva in Jewish history, he even fielded a candidate for Mashiach. He's an older man, he'll retire. But no, what does he do? You all know, what does he do? But let's think about that again for the first time. Five Talmidim. You've heard that before. Now think for a moment. Think about what were the bloggers saying? Right? Here's a man who had 24,000 Talmidim. It all goes down. And now he has yeshiva of five. What does everyone say? Meh. Exactly. Meh. He's past his prime. It's time for him to retire. He doesn't realize he should have
went to the
He should have retired at the top of his career. Right? That's what people probably were saying. The cynics were saying that. Here's the irony. How many Divrei Torah do you know from the 24,000 Talmidim?
Very few.
How many names do you know? Zero. The second yeshiva of the five Talmidim, four of those five are Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, who, Rav Dornick points out, 80%, four-fifths of all name statements in Mishnayos are from those four Talmidei Chacham. So what looked like it's all over and done for, and now he's like trying, like what's he even doing? He mamish built it. Our Judaism is because of the Kibbutz Sekhar Yeshiva. That little yeshiva of five Talmidim, that made us who we are. Rabbi Akiva was a man of extraordinary optimism. And there are more examples. The end of Yuma, Lefnemiyat Tevetarim, Rabbi Akiva tells the Jewish people, you think, now you don't have the Beis HaMikdash, there's no kapara, don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechapar you directly. That's why, perhaps, they came to Rabbi Akiva. We can have a Seder with no Beis HaMikdash, with no Karm Pesach, with Achra Churban. What? We're going to celebrate Cheirus under the thumb of the Romans? Learn Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva will show us how to celebrate, how to be optimistic even when things look grim. And Taka, some say poetically, so much so, they got so into it, even the Talmidim got to the point where they're able to see the light. Things were starting to make sense to them. So that's part of what's going on. This story, the Chamisha the Canaan, that's a powerful introduction. You're going to start a Seder, and not everything is wonderful in the world. There are things that are wonderful, and there are things that are scary. Personally, on a family level, a community level, a national Klal Yisrael level, and a global level. There are things that are great, and there are things that are scary. Rebbe Akiva, we start Rebbe Akiva. You can find that Kadosh Baruch Hu, you can find optimism through your B'tachon, even when things are grim. One day. How are we doing with time?
6 minutes.
Amazing. I'll tell you one more quick vart. A super fast vart. You've said this line countless times because you've been coming to Zara since you were little. is the actual core of the storytelling. After we're done with all the instructions, we actually get down to telling the story. The workhorse, the main axis of telling the story, the actual mitzvah sequence of Mitzrayim, is those four psukim from Parshas Kisavo. Holech, as the Mishnah says in Psachim, Holech v'dorish. You go pasuk by pasuk. You say, Yarami Ovid Avire Mitzrayim, four psukim. The going down into Mitzrayim, and then the suffering in Mitzrayim, and then the davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out. So in the midst of the suffering in Mitzrayim, here is this one beautifully highlighted. You see, you have, for instance, page 16. The first pasuk in gray, and then we go through it. It's Medrash. Line by line explaining. Page 10, the next pasuk, by Areya Rosh Hashanah, line by line. The third pasuk, by Nitzav, by Davin. And page 19, the fourth pasuk, by Yotzienu, how HaKadosh Baruch took us out with Esther Makas. And that second pasuk, page 17, by Areya Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvah Yanu. How do you translate that? The mitzvah were ra, they were bad to us. They made us suffer. So then in the medrash should be adding something. Go back to Shmos. Paros in council. What are we going to do, Paros says? We have a problem with the Jews. How are we going to solve it? Why is that? What does that help me? The Mitzrayim were bad. That doesn't say anything about the Mitzrayim being bad. It just talks about the Mitzrayim planning to be bad. There are so many better psukim. At least 10, 20, 30 psukim we could have quoted. It actually talks about the Mitzrayim being bad. What are we proving from there? So the answer is, Vayareyu doesn't mean, the problem will often say this at the Seder. Vayareyu doesn't mean that they were bad. Vayareinu is hifil, for the grammatically oriented. It means that they said we were bad. Vayanunu means that they tortured us. Vayareyu or something anunu means first, they made up stories about how we were bad people. They made up anti-Semitic stories about us. Then, once they dehumanized us, then they attacked us. What does it say? Kemosha Nemar, Paro says, we have a problem. What's our problem? He says, what's going to be if a foreign power attacks? The Jews will join them. What evidence is there that the Jews are not patriotic? Yosef just saved the whole country. But they made up a whole story about how we're traitors so they could then go ahead and attack us. That's what it's saying. It's also that's an example of reading the Haggadah carefully. It's also an example of recognizing what the Haggadah is often telling us things about Golas Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim. It didn't just happen once. Things that recur throughout Jewish history. Patterns of anti-Semitism that recur throughout Jewish history and patterns of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us. As we say, they recur throughout Jewish history. It wasn't just then, throughout the generations. The countless attempts to destroy the Jewish people. Anti-Semites have succeeded tragically in killing many individual Jews. But they have never succeeded and will never succeed in exterminating the Jewish seaboard, the Jewish people. Fantastic. Let's jump to the end. After we tell the whole story, we then relate the story to the props on the table, to the mitzvah halayla, Pesach, Matzah, Mar. Reb Gamliel says, this is absolutely critical. Sometimes people get called in, people who are away from the table, at some home. Now you call everyone back in. Gotta hear Rabbi Gamliel. What does it say already? Pesach, what's going on Pesach? About a Kaddish Baruch Hu jumped over the houses. Why is that so significant? Matzah, we didn't have time for the bread to rise. Why is it, of all the things you could talk about, those are the most important things to say about the story? Mara, I understand. The suffering, okay, that's clearly a central piece. But the jumping over the houses and the we left before we had time for the bread to rise, why is that so significant? I'll tell you what I think. It tells you actually something incredibly central in our emuna, in our everyday lives. In bitachon. Bitachon, the Chazon says, is applied emuna. Emuna applied to life. Living your emuna is called bitachon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manages his universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for a purpose, and put us here for a purpose, and gave us a Torah for a purpose. Even though Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need us, but he's interested in our lives, and it cares about what we're going to accomplish, and is deeply invested in us. It's not just impressionistic, oh, whatever, blood brush, whatever happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, okay, there'll be Makas Bechoros over here in this area. No. Every single house, there was careful, in the positive sense, discrimination. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was discriminating. Who's this and who's that? Everyone gets exactly what's coming to them. Who and when? Makas Bechoros happened to exactly the people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended for. No one more, no one less. And we left Mitzrayim exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to leave. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later. Your bread isn't ready, it doesn't matter. We're supposed to leave now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu handles us with incredible precision, with infinite care, often much more than we realize. And that's one of the major lessons that we draw in our lives from the Haggadah. Rabbi Yossi, thank you so much.